We are the blessed remnant today. We have tithed our team to Africa. It may be more than 10%. But we have tithed. Some people have smaller groups during the summer because of vacations and so on. We have smaller groups in the summer because of missions to Africa. I kind of like that. Much better way to do it. Well, we already have a testimony this morning. Just that quick. So if you thought nothing was going to happen because of the small numbers, I'm sorry. God doesn't work that way. So where is Terrence? Terrence has a testimony for us, eh? Not one. Three. Excuse me. Three. Now, Terrence is a worshiper, as you know. How many know that? Raise your hand so he can see him. Okay, good, good. Thank you. Sometimes he uses these. We've all seen Terrence worship. Well, now he has even more reason to worship, I understand. I haven't heard it all. Just a smidge. So you want me to interview you or you want to share? Which do you want to do? You don't care. Okay. Well, come on up. So, Terrence, what has happened to you?
Well, last month, my aunt came up to me and was like, well, I just feel that I need to help you with some things. And I was like, oh, okay. And she came and, my license was really messed up. She paid that off for me. Then next week, she came back and was like, get in the car with me. And we went and bought me a truck. And, yeah. And then about 2 weeks later, she came and got me, and we bought a house.
A house. Oh, yeah. So who do you think gave you those things?
The Lord. He just used my aunt, but...
He just used your aunt.
Bless her heart.
Yeah, bless her heart, too. Well, Father, we just thank you, God, for these good gifts. May he use them for himself, for the kingdom, God, in every way. Bless him, favor him, Lord. May he see your heart for him as his son, as his worshiper. Father, we thank you, God, for your blessing, for your favor. We... thank you and bless his aunt double, Father, for her generosity. We give you the praise. We honor you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, yeah. No. Okay, good. He can get those ready then and the pictures. Good, good. Well, we also had a wild Friday night at First Friday. We had a booth down at First Friday, which we normally do. That's down in Canton every month on the First Friday. And we have a booth down there. We basically just put up a couple of posters that say, receive a free personal word, or a free personal picture, that's what it is. Free personal picture. And we put up banner, Frontline Worship Center, Frontline Ministries International, whatever it is. And people just draw a simple picture for people to come to the booth. And you know, people want a simple picture. And they come by the booth. Oftentimes, they'll send their children up there first, and then they look over their shoulders as the person is giving the word from the Lord. They're listening. You can just see their faces as they walk by, as they walk away, blessed, whether they received it or not. Just their children getting blessed by the Lord. But I thought there were a couple testimonies from that time. So, Shannon, would you mind sharing about James? That's really, to me, that was a really cool one. And if there's anybody else who wants to share something from First Friday, okay. Come on up and we'll be efficient, I guess.
So I drew this picture and the Lord told me the name was James. So I wrote James on the back of the paper and I had the picture drawn and it was a stick figure of him standing and there's like fire and there's darkness all around him. And then there's a bucket of water that was pouring over the fire to put it out. And I didn't know. And then like I was just standing there and this guy came up and he was getting a drawing from Kiagaba. And so I was standing there and I was like, is that him? So I walked over and I said, is your name James? He goes, yeah. My name's James. So I flipped it over. I was like, this is for you. And I ended up giving him the word of, like, what the Lord gave me was that something had taken his innocence away and that the Lord was coming to dump water on it to put it out, to put out the hardness that he's put on. And he said that it was cool because when he was younger, he was in a house fire. And so there's a lot of stuff with that.
Anyway, I love First Friday. And I had actually four or five things that the Lord gave pictures to different people that just amazed, astound me as well. They're shocked, I'm shocked. But the two that stood out was I drew a picture. One was a wedding cake. So I was drawing a wedding cake. And I'm like, and the wedding is nice. It's on the table and with the two figurine on top. And I was drawing, she's saying, I was wondering why you're drawing that. I'm like, I don't know. I'm just still drawing. I'm trying to listen to the Lord. And so I was drawing and a wedding cake and a fireworks on top. And so what I heard the Lord was saying that, talking about their marriage, their unity, their faithfulness, that God really honors that. And, you know, God is really pleased with that. And that the fireworks represent celebration. And as I was saying that, she was tearing up. I'm like, why? Why? It's just my... She just turned 50, and then apparently she makes wedding cakes. And I was like, okay. So that was amazing. Another one also I was starting to draw, and the words that I get is a big red barn. Okay, so I was trying to draw a big red barn. I was coloring red, and then there's a lot of little nursery, little plants. Anyway, I was saying that God was talking about her multiplication and reproducing, you know, like a nursery. Different. She has like four kids and five on the way. But then she said, why did you, you know, draw a big red barn? And then she said everywhere she moved, different location, like, I don't know, five or different property, there's always a big red barn. So I was amazed.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. How many know it's a risk to give out a word to somebody? It's a little bit of a risk. How many know the Lord loves risk? I mean, you know, a lot of Christians need to risk more because he's so good to back us up. He's so good to come in there and give things right to our mouth, right to our spirit in order to bless somebody else. And it could be you next time that does that. And it may not be a First Friday. It may be with a friend or with someone in need. The Lord will give you a word. I have a relative and... The Lord gave him a word about a little girl with cancer. He said, the cancer is gone. But he was afraid to give the word because he doesn't believe in that type of thing. He got a word from the Lord, but he was afraid to give it because he doesn't believe in that type of thing. So he didn't give the word. But the Lord loved this little girl so much that she went into remission. And he could have had the blessing of, you know, speaking that out to the parents beforehand, but... wouldn't take the risk of doing that. So let's be about taking some risk. You can, if you're not, you know, real sure about what you're saying, you just say, this is what I'm hearing. I'm hoping, I'm believing it's from the Lord. If it means something to you, then take it to the Lord and run it by the Lord. You can put all the contingencies on it you want so you feel good. And God will blow your socks off with what he does through you. I remember being in China and this, we were doing this weekend thing with some Chinese workers in a tea shop kind of thing, a coffee shop type of thing, and they were the workers being trained to be leaders in the, you know, in that area in the Chinese church. And so we drew away to this retreat area, retreat center type of place, and we said, you know, are you allowed to really do this? I mean, a retreat center, this is kind of out in the open, and you rent this place and so on. They said, well, we're believing that the owner wants the money more than he wants to turn us into the police, into the authorities. Oh, that's pretty good. He probably does. So we were at this retreat center, and the leader of the training suddenly said to Dylan and I, okay, our leaders here that have come from the USA are going to give a word to each person here. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah. And I was kind of new at all of that. Maybe had done that a little bit, but kind of, whoa, wow, Lord, what are you going to do here? Because we each are going to be giving a word to these beautiful Chinese ready to lay down their lives for the gospel, and we're coming from America, cushy America, to give them a word. And I remember this one particular fellow who was one of the older ones there. And I, you know, I'm going, what do you want to say to him, God? And all I see is question marks. I don't even get a, you know, like question. I don't even get a word written out or anything. Just question marks. I see question marks all over him. So I, you know, it's interpreted, but I say to the guy, I see question marks all over you, and the Lord is answering all your questions, and he is going to take you from here and take you further in the kingdom and so on. I thought, oh, that's kind of weak. That was kind of a weak word. Just thinking to myself, my mind. And afterwards, the leader said, do you know what kind of word you gave that guy? I said, which one? He said, that one. I said, you know, I was about ready to say, yeah, weak one. And he says, he was so on fire for the Lord. He was tearing it up for God. He was training all these other people under him because he's older. And he fell away big time. He just hit the skids and fell away big time. And he's barely on his way back now. And has so many questions. Does the Lord love me? Does he care about my life? Have I denied him to the point that, you know, I can't be used anymore? All these different questions. And when you said, God will answer all those, he's taking you from here forward and into the future, you know, he said, that guy, you could just see the relief on him. You could see his questions being answered right at that moment, that God really loved him and wanted to meet him right where he was. I thought, wow, that came out of me. And I was kind of hooked on that after that, because you say something like that to someone, they know it's from God, you're out of the picture. That guy probably doesn't remember me at all, but I better remembers that time when he had all those questions, and his Father in heaven loved him so much that he was going to answer those. Do we have any other testimonies from First Friday?
There is a lady that I drew a picture for, and I got a picture of a roller coaster that was all windy and swirly. And then I had a second picture of like another roller coaster, but it was straight. And the word that I had for her was that, you know, sometimes in life our emotions end up doing a roller coaster ride, but the stability is found in Jesus. And so I just encouraged her, and I just asked if that applied to her life, and she said that it did. So then I got to pray for that stability and the security that Jesus has to offer her, and just to bless her in that.
Okay, we'll release the kids to Kingdom Land. Some places they get a little bit shook up if there's more kids than there are adults. Here we celebrate that, because they're all our examples. They don't have any problem being free up here in worship, if you've noticed. Maybe freer than some of us that grew up in the church long ago want them to be. But Jesus loved children and loved them just as they were. Energetic, fun-loving. Maybe they had too many wiggles, a bit too much running around. But you don't see him chastising any of the children, remind me. Good, good. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have landed a team in Mozambique. They're already active, already have preached a message this morning and ministered to people today. Father, already have ministered to children at a children's center since they've been in Mozambique, making plans to go out to the bush, preach the gospel, encourage leaders, see people come to salvation, watch you heal, watch you deliver. Incredible, Lord. Incredible what you're doing. We bless it, we partner with you, and we pray for the same thing here, God. We pray for the same thing here, and we've already seen it, already had testimony, Father, of you doing amazing things. And we bless that, we receive that, and we say multiply it, Father, for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. If you haven't heard, we're inviting you to lunch.
What?
Lunch with Pastor Bill. Down at Bueller's after the service. And so all are welcome. I believe the bus driver is driving the bus people down to the restaurant. And so that'll be fun. And we'll, those of you that have the funds, we'll be taking care of your own meal, even though I'm inviting you to lunch. And those that don't, we'll take care of that. But we want anyone that wants to come to lunch, you're more than welcome. It's scheduled at 1:30, but of course, maybe we'll get there earlier. It's a possibility. We'll see what the Lord does. He does the miraculous, so we'll see what he does. Wow, the line's getting longer. Yeah. Must be some blessed teachers. Maybe we'll bring them out here on a Sunday. Well, last time that I spoke, we prayed for fire for people. And I thought, you know, at the end of the message, there'd be five or six up, and I'd pray fire over them, and bam, you know, the Lord would do something for them. And I was excited. And that afternoon at 3:45, when we finished with the line, some people leaving to go to lunch or whatever and came back and joined the line. When we finished at 3:45, I looked at my watch and went, boy, I think I missed that, Lord. I was expecting five or six, wanted more fire. And we end up with a whole line of people that wanted fire. So we have the fire today. And those that weren't there, you get it now. From Holy Spirit directly. We thank him for that. And we believe that it's going to make a difference. And it already has. There are people in Mozambique, I believe, that have much more fire than they would have had before. There are people here today that when they went to First Friday, we burned it up down there. There was a little circle of fire where we were last night. So many people came by the booth. The people drawing, their hands, I think, were wearing out. That's a good thing. So things are all about perception, aren't they? If you look at the group today here, you go, wow, there are quite a few spots missing. And there are gaps here missing, and only, you know, one couple in the back area there, and so on, you know. Only one. But perception is everything, isn't it? How you look at things. How you view things. Jesus tried to change people's natural perceptions to kingdom perceptions. He wanted them to have a kingdom perspective. Look at things from heaven to earth rather than on earth and that's all you see going on. And he gives us that same challenge today, doesn't he? To see things from the Father's eyes, see things from Jesus' eyes rather than our own. Now, you know, just in, you know, natural terms, lenses and so on, you know, this isn't very good to look through and see you clearly. It just doesn't work real well for that. You know, looking through this and, wow, you know, perfect 20/20 vision. It is good for, you know, looking at very close objects. In fact, there are a lot of Christians that this is the only one they use. They come up to each Christian they know. Let me see. They use a little judgment. They might have some things in their heart that aren't right. They're trying to build themselves up, build their own little kingdom. So they only use this one, and they look real close. And you know what? For each one of us, they can find something. Come on. They can find something if they're looking for it with a magnifying glass. They're going to find faults in us, every one of us. And especially pastors. They're the easiest because they're, you know, we're out here. We're out here for the target shooting and so on, if they want to. People can just take that magnifying glass and take a look at us. Or some might even get down to the microscope. This one is 30 times. Could go real close and take a look at all the faults and all the failures and start feeling pretty good about yourself. Okay? Judgment, pride, you know, all that's involved in that. Of course, you know, you can also take out binoculars. And I think, you know, in one sense, God uses these quite a bit. Should have taken those out of the case. You know, he takes the long view. If he looked at us all, you know, under the microscope all the time, we'd feel pretty lousy. We'd feel pretty bad. Because all of our glaring weaknesses would show up and, oh, Lord, and we'd constantly have our nose on the ground. You know, let me give you some good news. Jesus took care of all that. And we can celebrate that he did. He covered it all. He takes a risk. God takes a risk in covering all of that for us because we could say, oh, great, he covered it all. Now I can go sin some more. And, of course, Romans 6 says, no, don't do that. Not the way to approach it. Approach it that in gratefulness, in worship, that he has taken all our faults, all our failures, everything in us that could come under his magnifying glass, and he's paid for it all. So God often takes out the binoculars. It's helpful if we take out the binoculars and take the long view. Where are you going to be in 5 years? What's God going to be doing with your life in 5 years? What's he going to do with this body over the next 5 years? Now, some people, you know, are hoping that this place is absolutely filled and we have to, you know, even go to another building before that, and we've had prophecies about certain things along that line. That's a great thing. That's a good thing. However, if we have the perception that that's the way God looks at things, that everything has to be big, this might end up being big. But God doesn't look at everything that it has to be big. He's much more interested in whether it's strategic. Now, if you know anything about this ministry, it's strategic. It basically has been from its beginnings. We started as a Bible study every 2 weeks in our home. Every 2 weeks for young people. Not even every week so they could remember what week it was. And the miracle of it wasn't that it survived. It was that nobody showed up in the in-between weeks and banged on our door and said, "Is this the week we have Bible study?" Somehow, they remembered which weeks it was. And they showed up. And then we started taking trips overseas. And people went with us. That was a little crazy. Then we started meeting African chiefs. And they gave us land. We have two portions of land that were given to us in Africa. One portion was given by a Muslim chief who became saved before he died. And when he died, his wife became saved. And then one of the sons became saved last year. It just goes on. And the new chief is Mr. Jolly. He's a very happy guy. He's happy to see us. And he needs healing all the time. So we pray for him for healing. That's how it started with the first guy. When he got some healing, he wanted us to pray for him more. And by the time the healing started to take place in his life, oh, spiritually, he wanted healing. Strategic. African chiefs. Who knows about them? They sound important. They all have their little rug, you know, skin that they put down. They have a guy that you can only talk to the chief through the interpreter guy, through the guy that stands beside him, supposedly. Until we show up. And then the chief wants to speak to us directly. He breaks his own rules to speak to us. Strategic. You know, in the Bible, there are many strategic smalls. Think about it. Gideon's army. Why not big? Why not with weapons? That would be a handy thing. Charge down the hill with actual weapons. Actual weaponry. No. God gives them like a jar and a candle and a big whoop. And the battle is won. You know, Jonathan charging up the hill with his armor bearer. The armor bearer has the sword. Jonathan's in front, charging up a hill at an overwhelming enemy. Is that big? Two people against a much larger group at the top on the high ground. Military strategy says high ground with numbers. Jonathan goes, "We got him. We're charging up a hill. In fact, we're not charging. We're crawling up the hill. We got him. We have them. They're in our hands. Boy, phew, glad that's over with. You're still climbing, Jonathan." "Yeah, I know, but it's over. It's over." He gets to the top. It was over. Strategic. David, Goliath. A lot of numbers there. On the sides, armies of Israel, armies of the Philistine. One big giant. And one kid, shepherd boy, nobody, strategic, one rock, one boy, one giant falls, and the army runs. Wouldn't it make more sense that the two armies came together? I mean, even on both sides. The one with the overwhelming numbers and the big giant They had to wait all that time for someone to come forward from the army of Israelites to defeat him. Strategic was important. Jesus had 12 disciples. Why didn't he have like multitudes follow him? He could handle them. He handles them from heaven. He could handle them on earth. 12. And 11 made it through the training program. One committed suicide out of the 12 people that he trained. It didn't make any difference. He took over the world. What was going on with Judas? He thought the strategy was big. Jesus was supposed to become king and defeat the Romans, kick them out. He thought that was big, big. But in God's eyes, different perspective. His perception, that's too small. That's way too small. Defeat the Romans and kick them out of it? Oh, that's too small. I'm going to save the entire world if they want it and bring heaven to earth, establish the kingdom of God on earth. But if we looked at what was happening in that day, maybe we would have fallen for Judas's argument. It made a lot of sense. So that Jesus had 11 people that didn't fall for that argument. I mean, they brought up some points, but when he spoke, they were like, ooh, only you have the words of eternal life. God's perspective was use the small to bring about the mighty. And often our perspective is use the big to bring about the big. This place could become big. We've had prophecies. We could bust out the walls or tear down this building, or it could become a youth building, or all kinds of different things have been flying around. And we could end up, you know, having large numbers come in here. But in the meantime, let's enjoy the strategic. Let's see things from a different perspective. I would say that even though God often used the long perspective, and that would be good for us, he sees the future and says, this is where you're going to be. I can't wait to speak life into you all along the way so you can get there. He gives us prophecies. He gives us the word of God. He gives us encouragement along the way. He helps us encourage one another to get there. Sometimes it's not so easy, especially when the magnifying glasses come out, you know. But he wants us to see with prescription glasses in the spirit so that we can see accurately. What did he say? Those that have eyes to see. Those that have ears to hear. Now, if we need special prescription glasses put on by God in order to see clearly, that's important. If we need contacts put in to see clearly, that's important. In order to hear what he's really saying, if we need hearing aids, hopefully we don't put earplugs in. If we need something turned up a little bit of a challenge, he's willing to do that for us. Because he takes the long view. He can't wait for what's going to be in our future. But I think he is a little bit more like a camera. You know, on here, there are so many settings. I spent so long last night just trying to take a picture of some fireworks, trying to figure out the settings on this thing. Well, what does a camera have that none of the rest of these have? Well, it takes a hopefully clear picture of what's going on. You can look through it and absolutely grab a glimpse of something. look it over carefully in all its detail and say, yes, that's what God's doing. You know, as I look out to you today, I don't look at the in-between spaces and say, well, where are the people? I look at you and say, here are the people. These are the ones that came through the door. These are the ones that care about what God is doing. These are the ones that, some of them that I prayed fire into. And I'm asking God to bring that fire. I can't bring it. And that you're the ones taking the nations. Someone was at First Friday and they're establishing a church in Uniontown. There are several people, in fact. And someone was telling them what we do as a body. 100 people, you know, give or take. 20 or 30 children. what we do as far as a body. And they were blown away. They can't imagine, even if they had 100 people and establishing their church, that they would be doing what we're doing. They want to get 100 people. They don't even have 100 people, I don't think. But they can't imagine that they would be doing what this group is doing, what you are doing, with all the things that God has to overlook inside of us. Those of you that, you know, went out Friday night and ministered to people by drawing a picture, taking a risk, loving on them, caring about them. Those that were with family or whatever and sharing the love of Jesus and so on. You know, this is strategic. Strategic for what God wants to do. And it's becoming more so. Think about it. We have a relationship with the mayor of Manado, a city of 500,000. And when I told someone that in the States, they said, that's a pretty good-sized city. You say that overseas, and they look at it as a rather small city. Jakarta has between 10 and 20 million people, depending on where you draw the line. Singapore has 5 million people. You know, this is kind of a small burg over there, 500,000, but he's the head of a mayor's association across Indonesia, 90-some mayors. He's the head of that. He's a Christian. And we were partnered with him. And his wife wants to establish a mission school. And it goes on and on. Relationship with businessmen in Jakarta. Why are we in relationship with them? How did that happen? Why is that being established? What's going on there? Established with major revival ministries. In fact, Pastor Mary Pat probably won't be back when the team is coming back. She's probably going to stay a little bit longer and meet with someone of a major revival ministry and establish a closer partnership. What is God doing? It's called strategy. It's called using those that are here already to accomplish what he has for us now and to set up for the future, whatever that looks like. So when I look out, with the eyes that I look out with, I say, wow, look how many came down for First Friday when we were, you know, few in number. Look how many people came by that booth. Look what happened with some of those people and what they received from God. How would that happen any other way than to have a group of people come down there and do that? How would we reach out to the community doing that at the Jackson Festival? Kind of see the different parts of the community that we're connected with. We have a ministry to a mental health facility. We have a ministry to Legends, which is a nursing home. We have ministry to TLC, which is ministering to the poor. We have ministry with three colleges, one local high school. All these things going on, very strategic in this area. So the time is the time to be encouraged at what God is doing in his strategy to bring about what he wants done. It's not a time to be discouraged. It's not a time to say, well, where are the people? Where are the numbers? Where? It's a time to say, we're going forward. And we see you starting to set up strategies for the future. We don't even know how in the world that's going to work out. What you're actually going to do with our lives. So what if each of us had the right lens to look through? We look through the camera with all the different settings and all the different variety that God has given us. And we say, wow, what a good picture. What a beautiful picture he's creating with us. We don't look around and say, where are the others? We say, isn't it great that you're using us? You know, I kind of think of Gideon's army and all those guys, you know, that were taken off the team, so to speak. And the guys on the team, they're like, wait a minute. what's happening here? We're going against a massive army. And we just have... And then you don't pass out weapons? Can you imagine the 300? Where are the others? Where are the others? How come they are... Why did they... how come we letting them go? They had to listen to who? Gideon. The guy that not too long before that was shaking in his knees behind the, you know, press. And God made it happen. When they followed Gideon, they didn't need weapons. When Gideon listened to the Lord, he charged like he had courage. He actually had courage given to him from God. We know he didn't have any on his own, because this was his. He had to get it from God. It's the same for us. We can only get the courage to work together, the courage to go out into the community from God. And when he gives it to us, we're unstoppable. The fire that he gives to us, we're unstoppable. If we cooperate with his Holy Spirit. If we have the wrong lens, or worse yet, now this could mean a couple of things. It could mean that we, you know, see very darkly and we're not seeing very clearly, or it could mean we think we're Hollywood. We think we're something special. Hey, I got a word from God. Hey, don't stomp on me. I hear from him myself. I don't even need you. I'm Hollywood. We need each other. I don't care how many words we have. I need you people. All the time. Later. And you need me. The eye is the lamp of the body. Then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is clear, if you're seeing clearly. You know what seeing clearly has to do with? That's Matthew 6:22, I think. Cross-reference Luke 11:30. Nine, I think. Might be a four. Seeing clearly means that we don't have a lens of bitterness, a lens of judgment, a lens of unforgiveness. That's why we offer prayer so often, is because if you're looking through the wrong lens, you will not see what the Father sees, even if you want to, sometimes. You'll say, I want to see the way the Father sees. I want to be the way the Father is. I want to be just like Jesus. And then you put on the wrong lenses. The lens of bitterness. And you can't see clearly. When the sun is shining, you're going, whoa, I don't want, that's too much sun. Too much sun, God. It's too much. Don't shine the light on me. I don't want to see that clearly. So Jesus was constantly trying to adjust their vision. I don't know if you know, but Jesus was an eye guy. If he looked into your eyes, you could change. I think that's what happened to Zacchaeus, Luke 19. Jesus looked into his eyes at that little luncheon they had, and Zacchaeus starts giving away money. He's a tax collector. He's got a little, you know, Arabian blanket on his wall with a safe behind it. And he loved what was in it very much. One lunch with Jesus. And it doesn't even say Jesus said anything. I'm sure he did, but he didn't. It doesn't give any account that he said anything to Zacchaeus. And yet Zacchaeus was running out of his door, throwing money at people in the streets. Whatever I've taken from you, four times as much. Just come on in. Look in my safe. Here you go. What happened? Jesus looked into his eyes. And Zacchaeus responded. I'm challenging us today. We need to take a new look with new lenses. If we have the lens of the past, if that colors everything we do, well, somebody in 1989 hurt me. Let me give you good news. Jesus heals every hurt if you want it healed. If you want to hang on to it, he'll let you hang on to it. He doesn't violate your free will. But if you want to be healed of that hurt, there's no reason to carry it. No matter how deep, no matter how horrible it was. Every person has hurts. Every person. And there's only one hurt healer. There's only one. So you don't have to look around. You know, I wonder if it's Hinduism. I wonder if it's Buddhism. I wonder if Buddha can help me. He's got that big belly. Maybe, you know, maybe he can help. No, of course not. He's stone or bronze or whatever they want to make him out of. He's man-made, worthless. Jesus is alive and ready to heal and heal all the hurts so we have the right lenses on. Oh, I had those healed up because I read that book a while ago about roots. I got rid of all my roots. Let me help you with something. Roots can come back. If they have an opening, they can come back. You have to keep putting on the rid. The rid, the roots. You have to keep applying the grace of God. It's not automatic. Well, I took care of those roots and now they're not there. Okay, maybe have somebody else check on that. They'll let you know. You can't tell yourself sometimes. Deceived is deceived. Deceived means you can't see it. And you need help seeing it. If you are, you know, only taking these lenses and looking at yourself and not saying to someone else, take lenses and look at me. What's in my heart? What do I show to you? That's called teachable. And every one of us has to do it. I live with Pastor Mary Pat. You can imagine the program I'm in. And it's good for me. It is so good for me. Because she sees so clearly. Sometimes I have to kind of back up. She sees so clearly. And I've signed up with her. Go ahead. If you see anything in me, Oh. Somehow, when it's another person on earth, it's harder than when it's God. Oh, God, anything you see in me, thank you for your grace and your mercy and your goodness and your forgiveness. And thank you, God. I know you see me as your son. Thank you, God. But when you offer that to someone of leadership or someone that's a friend, a true friend that will wound you. You got friends on Facebook? Those aren't your friends. Only the ones that will wound you for your good. And by wound, I mean you allow them to point out in you something or disagree with you. I disagree with that. I don't think that's God. And if you can take it without hitting the ceiling, which is a challenge for a lot of us, isn't it? The lens that you look through is so important. If you know that you hold something against someone, you're required to go to them by the Bible and speak to them about that. If you know someone has hurt you, you need God's wisdom, especially if it's an unbeliever that's hurt you, as to how to handle that. You forgive first before you find out from them whatever was going on, if God leads you to do that. In some cases, we're hurt by people and they're not ready for us to approach them. You know, I just wanted to approach you and say that you hurt me and I thought I would go through this now with you. Sometimes that doesn't work. You need Holy Spirit to lead you in that. And the timing, and he'll capture just the right moment when it's the proper time to talk to them. And so many wonderful things can happen. But the forgiveness has to start in our hearts first. I had a Christian leader tell me one time, you only have to forgive if they ask you. If they've hurt you, you only have to forgive them if they ask you. I thought. And I said, no. I said, I forgave this person totally without even talking to them. I talked to God. He forgave me. I forgive them. I've been desperately hurt by them, but I forgave them with God's grace, not my own forgiveness. I needed more of his forgiveness to forgive them. I needed to talk to him first to even get the forgiveness to forgive them. And then to forget? We can't. Only God can forget totally. But we can choose not to hold what we remember and let it fade. Let it fade to the point that You get to a point and it's a place of celebration. Wow, God, you got me through that hurt. And I can look at that person now with your eyes of love. And in the case of a person that desperately hurt me, I've ministered to them. Miracle! Mary Pat has ministered to them. Amazing miracle. I would have missed that joy. I would have missed that opportunity if I'd kept the lens on of unforgiveness. So I'm hooked on it, trying to get all I can of God's forgiveness for people and forgive them before they ever talk to me or before we ever have a conversation. And sometimes they'll say, well, I hope you'll forgive me for, and I'll say, I already did. Honestly, I already did. It's a joy to say that to them. You can see how that would give a different lens if you're talking to someone that's hurt you. How you could give out Father's love even if you've been hurt by a person. If they're hurting you over and over and over and over again now, you can still rise up and grab hold of God's forgiveness and forgive them and look through the lens of, you know, God is going to bring this to a different place. He's going to work in their lives. He's going to work in my life. In 5 years, this could be totally different. We could be very close. We could be in fellowship again if fellowship has been broken. We could be family again if family's been broken. And so, sometimes people are kicking you in the teeth and you are hugging them in the Lord. That's a good thing. Love your enemies. I mean, even when it gets to that point, when they could be called an enemy, don't call them an enemy. God might even think of them as an enemy because he's going to take vengeance on those that are truly our enemies because they're enemies of the cross. If it gets to that point. So we leave that type of thing to him. He's the one that knows how to judge all that out and do it graciously and righteously and in all of that. I can just have the lens of forgiveness. I can have the lens of grace that he gives me for people. I know you want that more and more and more. I can see you thinking about it. And he is so willing to give it to us at a deeper level than we've ever had before. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for the team in Mozambique. That's what I want for the people that we minister to overseas. You know, we hear about the Father's love in this fellowship a lot, but overseas, it is a brand new topic to many people. And they have never had their hurts healed up. And they can't understand why they have this desire to go minister to people, but something grabs them and pulls them back. And they want to press forward and they hear the challenge of the pastor from the front. Go, 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 go. And they go, I want. And something pulls them back. It's all these things on the inside. It's the lenses that they have on that are wrong. And they look at things and they make all the excuses or they just can't get past these walls and these barriers. They're in prison. And sometimes they have other people inside with them. The people that they won't forgive. So everybody's in bondage. There has to be a breaking loose in the body of Christ with these things in order for the world to be one. You already know how we feel about gender in this place, that there is no limitation on gender. Then when he says there's no male or female, he's talking about the fact that heaven has no gender. It's supposed to come to earth and women are supposed to be empowered to do everything that God wants them to do. We have different roles. We have different, you know, things that we're supposed to be as male and female. But as far as being empowered to do the work of the kingdom, there is no gender. That's another new message for overseas and, unfortunately, in the States. We can't win the kingdom being men only. Because God didn't design it that way. You know, the men only leaders. He designed for every person to be powerful in him, kingdom powerful, and winning nations for the Lord. So, I love speaking at women's conferences. Whenever I get an invitation. The other pastors will say, well, why are you doing that? I said, why wouldn't I? And I said, why don't you come with me? Well, it's a women's conference. What's that got to do with it? Come along with me. So I'm praying that you'll have more of a kingdom lens, that your perceptions, your ability to see, hear, or become aware of something through the senses, your spiritual senses, the state of being or process of becoming aware of something in such a way of regarding, understanding, or interpreting something, a mental or spiritual impression, intuitive understanding, and insight. I want all those to increase in us, and that the lenses that are shaded by bitterness, unforgiveness, hurt, judgment, pride, blame, father issues, mother issues, bondages, addictions, fear, control, that they're broken off of us more and more and more. Some of these things are in stages. You can have an ultimate spiritual experience that really changes the direction of where this goes. You can receive such a dose of the Holy Ghost that you get such freedom that you can't imagine. But guess what? There is more. There's always more. I'm expecting much more for me, especially since that prophecy in China where I was worshiping like crazy with this group of missionaries in this church, Western church in China, no Chinese allowed because of the government, but they snuck in anyway. But I'm doing worship, and I'm, you know, it's very humid there. I don't know if you know, but very tropical, and I'm sweating. I'm doing worship. Really, hopefully, taking them to heaven. I was there. I hope they were there with me. And the leader said, "Oh, we have a prophecy over here from someone." And the guy stands. He says, "Well, it's actually for Pastor Bill." So I turned like this, you know, the audience is out here and he's over here. And I turn like this and I have my guitar and he says, "Pastor Bill, you're pregnant. You're so pregnant that your belly is bouncing on the floor. It hits the stage and bounces up on the stage. You're so pregnant, you need to give us more. You're not giving out enough for the Lord." He's smiling. Okay, "You're not giving out enough of your father's, what the father has done in you. You've not given out enough to the body. And we're all waiting." And I'm standing like this, you know, with my, and I'm sucking it in. Why? Because they're looking at me. They're not looking at him. They're looking at me and my belly bouncing on the stage or whatever he was describing. And I thought, "God, you just want to make a fool of me here after I've worshipped you to the maximum or what?" And I began to think about it and I thought, you know, there are areas that need to be opened up inside of me. Apparently, that need to come out and be used to help people, I guess, more. I thought I was maxing it out, you know, especially today. And God challenged me in that atmosphere when I thought I was at my best. You know, when he challenges you and you're not doing so well, then you go, "Yeah, I deserve that. Yeah, I'll take it. Oh, yeah. Okay, got it." But when you're really ripping, you know, and you just got it going, and then he goes, "Guess what? There's another level and another level beyond that." It's the same for each of us. And at least I don't say to you, you know, "Your belly is bouncing on the floor." I say it nicer. But I want the same thing for each of us. To go as far as he wants us to go. When he takes out his binoculars and he sees us 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. That we aren't like those disciples that gave up or said, "Oh, this is too hard of a teaching. This is inconvenient. This is uncomfortable." I hope so. How in the world are we going to get out of the easy chair if it's comfortable? We'll read the paper. We want that lightning rod, don't we? A little bit, maybe back here somewhere. Zap, zap. Giving us a little push forward. Change. We need to change. But we change by celebrating everything he's already doing. Don't be looking to the past and saying, man, I wasn't much in the past and I'm not much now. No. Things have changed in you and they need to change more. Things have changed in me, they need to change more. I see things in me I want totally transformed. Totally. There are things in me I could tell you that you could take out the magnifying glass. I'd give you one that you could look at. I mean, it'd be so big under there. But I know you can't change it in me. That's got to be God. Since I already know it, I don't need you to tell me, yeah, that's right. But you may see some other ones. So thank you for being here, all hands on deck, you know, while the team is gone. Thank you for doing what you can with what you have, you know, for the Lord while they're gone. Because we can see amazing things happen here. We can see changes in us that when they come back, they'll look into our eyes and go, what happened to you? I was only away 3 weeks. What happened? Well, I put on different glasses. I don't know if you noticed, but I have different glasses on now. I didn't even know you wore glasses. I have different lenses that I look through. I look through the Father's love much more than I did 3 weeks ago. I don't look through bitterness with that person in the past anymore. I've forgiven, so I don't look with eyes of unforgiveness. I don't look at lack. I don't have the lens of lack. Oh, woe is me. I don't have this. I don't have that. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Yes. Old hymn. Still counts. Still matters that we look at what God is doing, what he has done, the amazing things. We celebrate it and so on. And then you end up with houses and cars. You end up with his overflow, whatever it is. If it's in material things, great. If it's in spiritual things, great. How many know that if he gives you a car, he expects you to use it for the kingdom? That's a heavy responsibility. You know, I gave you this to use it for the kingdom. Wow. You're an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. The house you live in is the ambassador's house. Whoa. I thought it was just a house. No, it's the ambassador's home for your area. It's the ambassador's home for Stark County, Ohio. You know, perception. How do you see your house? Oh, that's where I live. Is it where you minister? Oh, I do that at the church. Let's do a little bit more at our house. It's an ambassador's house. Invite people in. Call people from there rather than your cell phone on the road. Perception. How you see through Jesus' eyes. We keep asking him for more sight, realizing we have blind spots. We're blind in certain areas. We have shades on at times in certain areas. And we say, God, reveal, show, move inside of us. Let us know what's going on. Present ourselves to the Lord. I had this picture while I was preparing this. Just, you know, that each of us just go, here I am. Whatever's in me, forgive me where I've fallen short. I know you already have. I agree with that forgiveness. I need it. Where I can't see, where I'm blind, let me see. Where I've put earplugs in, take them out. I give you the permission to take them out. Let me hear. I present myself to you. I present myself to you. Give me new lenses of love. Father's forgiveness. Take judgment out of me. I just run to it. It's so easy for me to judge. I probably love it because it feels like I'm being raised up when I judge someone else. But I know it's not the truth. I need to go lower and serve the very ones that I judge. God, flip upside down my kingdom that it becomes your kingdom entirely. Yes, Lord, I present myself to you. I present myself to you. I need all that you are inside of me because I am lacking without the abundance of you. Come in, transform my heart. Move in me, God. Take me from where I am to where you want me to be. And I want to look through your binoculars to see far ahead. I want to look through your camera to get the perfect picture, and you can change the lenses. If I need to undergo some things that are, you have to look real small into me and point out some things to me, I receive it. If you're showing me something grand that's ahead and I can celebrate that, I'm going to celebrate it. Lord, give me new lenses. Give me new glasses. Yes, Father, I present myself to you. Use the people around me to make me better. I want friends that will wound me for my good. I want friends that will encourage me in the Lord, not towards my addictions, not towards my failures, not towards my weaknesses, but will encourage me to go forward in the Lord. I receive all you have to give to me, God. I need it every minute, every breath. I need more of you working inside of me. I partner with your Holy Spirit, wrapping my born-again spirit around your Holy Spirit so we're a powerful partnership. I need more, more of you. I hear that more so often, and my heart doesn't quite connect with that word over and over, said over and over. But today, this moment, I get it. I do need more of you, and I ask for it. Transform my mind. Transform my heart. Transform my spirit to be more like you. I want eyesight that's clear. Clear up any cloudiness, any confusion in me. I celebrate what you're doing. I celebrate who you are in me. I look through new lenses. And where I've had misconceptions, misperceptions, I submit that to you to clear up. Lord, I present myself to you. I truly present myself to you, brand new. Go through the inventory. See what needs to be filled in. See what I've forgotten about on the back shelf. God, help me. I submit and present myself to you. You're King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the great I am. You're the truth, the way, the life. You're the resurrection and the life. I am your donkey, your glory carrier. I am your ambassador. I am your son. I'm your daughter. Lord, here I am. I present myself before you. A servant in your house, but also a son. One that gives out the gospel, but benefits by the gospel as well. So many blessings and favor because my honoring you ends up in alignment with what you have for me. And I am blessed. I am favored. Thank you, God. So good to be in your family. It's so good that you're going to take care of the needs in my life by your 700 names and titles to take care of every need in me. I present myself before you, God. Where I've believed lies, bring the truth. Where I've hung on to the past, let me put it aside and press forward to the future. Let me put my hand to the plow and not look back. Yes, God, I present myself before you. Fresh, brand new. I'm a fresh sacrifice right now, Lord. A fresh offering on the altar. Here I am. Here I am. Work in me and send me, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Go deep, Lord. Go deep, Holy Spirit. Point out the lenses to throw away and the new ones to put on. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Help us not put on the magnifier too close, too long, without putting on the binoculars to look what you have for us ahead. So our nose won't be on the ground when our eyes should be up celebrating what you've done in us. So we can see what's ahead. Thank you, God. You're good. You're good. You're working deep in us. We need it. We thank you for it. Father, I'd ask that you would forgive me for anything that I've done with any person in here that did not line up with Father's love. Anything I've ever said, any look I've ever given, any attitude that I've ever shown, Father, sincerely before you, I ask your forgiveness, Father. I know these are in general, and you may bring them up to me in specifics, and I will approach you and ask your forgiveness for those specific things that I remember. But some things I don't see. Some things I didn't know, where I hurt people, where I said something too sharply, where I said something too quietly, where I didn't wound when I should have, when I wounded and I over-wounded. Please, Father, forgive me. I say it before you now with sincerity of heart. Any word, any attitude, any look that was not of you, I ask the forgiveness of any person in here. And I ask your forgiveness, God. I stand here before you wanting to be used more in your kingdom, wanting to have more of your Father's love inside of me. I forgive anyone, Father, that's ever said something against me, whether I've heard it or whether I haven't. They're forgiven. Whether they've done anything against me, God, they're forgiven. I know that's in general, and you may bring up specific things to my heart, and I will approach it the same way. I will forgive. I will forgive. I will forgive in your strength, because in my weakness, I'll forget, or I won't do it, or I won't follow through. But in your strength, in your Holy Spirit's strength, I know I will. And Father, I want to place myself here before you, saying I would die for anyone in here. Die. Standing from a bullet for them, God. Only I can only do that by your grace, by your ability to bring courage to me at that moment. I know I cannot make a statement, an oath, to do that on my own and follow through with it. My weakness might show up. My lack of courage might show up. But Father, I say before you right now that with your grace, your grace, your courage inside of me, helping me to receive it by Holy Spirit's power, I want to present myself in that way before you, Lord. God, take each one of these precious ones farther into what you have for them, deeper into the love of the Father. Get them, help them kick out the tent pegs that have been placed, that they're larger. The tent is larger that they're in. Increase their territory of influence. Increase their territory of influence in their family, in their friends, in their acquaintances, in every stranger that they meet, and even among people that would be considered enemies, whether they know about them or not. Increase their influence, God. I know that you've been waiting for more prayer like this because it's your heart. You want to increase and multiply and be strategic in doing so. I thank you for all the strategic things you're doing with these precious ones and the ones in Mozambique, God. We give you praise. We thank you in Jesus' name. We bless your name. I think we have a report from Mozambique of some kind. So we'll get that queued up. I don't know which it was, but every time we go over there, she's crazier and crazier and more on fire and more on fire. So we said, well, why don't you just come to Mozambique with us? And she said, well, why don't I just come to Mozambique? All right, well, so we made the arrangements, and she flew in from Indonesia to Ethiopia. The team caught up with her when they flew over to Ethiopia, and they flew together into Mozambique. So you can see she's having a great time. We call her the Indonesian Bethany. Similar enthusiasm. So, did you have something or just announcements? Okay. Oh, yes, we wanted to hear from Mary before we went to announcements. Oops. My message is spreading.
I just came up for prayer last Sunday, and I told the girl who was praying for me that I was having these floaters in my eyes when I drive, and it just, I don't know, it was scary. So I, on the way home, the road just looked clear, but I'd say I got 90% healed, but they're not totally gone, so, yeah.
That's some healing, though.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Well, let's pray for more of that. Father, we just say more for Mary, God, that you'd clear this up inside her eyes, God, and you would do the same for each person in here that has these floaty things. We don't like them. And we know that you desire for us to have clear sight, as was shared this morning. So, Father, this is a picture of that. Our sight being more and more clear. Take out any hindrances to that. Take it out in Mary, and she represents many people that have this going on in their eyes. We take them out by the power of Jesus. We release people to have clear sight. And Father, increase in their sight. We contend for that. We contend for that. For each person that needs to have sight increase, we bless them today. And we thank you for this very pertinent testimony in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we thank God for what he's doing in Mozambique. Anybody excited about that? I thought that was a little different quality than what we usually see. The video didn't stop, you know, with the people. And, you know, the testimonies were clear right up front and see their face and everything. That was awesome. I think we've had an increase in our video department or something. Looked great.